Major Highfield, Reel 2. We're talking about your time at the Royal Military Academy, Woolwich, from 1939. You say one of the topics you did was military history. Now, what type of military history were you learning? Were you learning general military history, going back through the ages, or were you learning specifically relating to the Royal Engineers or the 20th century? What level of...
We started with Napoleon's campaign in 1796, when he took a very successful campaign into Italy, and the tactics and so on.
And then what did you go on to?
Well, in the end, I only did one term.
So you don't know, really?
So I don't know what happened after that.
So they never got you onto the First World War in the time you were there?
No, no. It was Napoleon, 1796.
You still interested in Napoleon? I mean, that's what got you in a sense.
Yes, yes, I am.
Now, what other topics were you doing? I mean, did they start to introduce engineering?
Yes, there was a whole engineering side, and there was a senior man, a colonel, who was on the engineers, who ran it, and it was called... we had something called CI1 and CI2, and CI2 was the engineering and field works and training and so on. And we did quite a bit of survey eventually. I can remember we had plane tables, and on two occasions we went on our bicycles, more amusement, the legs of the plane table strapped to the rear carrier pointing out behind, and the plane table top strapped on your back, and rode from the academy to Greenwich Park, which we then had to map on the plane table. That's one expedition. I think we went twice.
Now, can you explain a bit about survey work? Because I'm a bit vague about it, actually. How did you actually do it?
Well, this was, you had a sighting rule, and you had to put in the contours. It was rather amusing because Greenwich Park starts at a high level, then slopes very rapidly down, and then levels out at the bottom. The contours, therefore, came very close together. Some of the cadets did it more or less without the sighting rule or anything and just drew it in and got almost as good results as we who were trying to do the proper method. But there were these expeditions into the Kent countryside to test out certain things.
Yeah, so that's survey work, map survey.
Yes.
What else in the engineering side?
I don't remember now too much detail, but I think probably most of the other work came in the latter terms.
So you missed it?
Yes.
Of course, you've got to make this clear, you're only there one term.
When they say one term, it ran from mid-January through to short of Easter. I think there was a week off then. Then we went back, and then we ran through to the end of June. That was one term.
So this was just part of the course. Anything else? I mean, was there any weapons training side to things?
Well, we were doing drill all the time, which including... bayonets and fixing bayonets, and there was of course a big parade for the passing out at the end of that term, the senior people then being going on to the School of Artillery and other places for being commissioned. But until you'd done that and left, you were not part of the army as such.
Now, were you aware of what was going on in Germany? Were you aware of Hitler, the rise of Nazism, any possible threat from Germany to this country or other countries? As a young 19-year-old, I mean, had you been following what was going on since the early 1930s?
I don't think we had. One followed it to a degree, and I can remember when, at Streatham, I once saw a black shirt march, Moses black shirts, go down, and one was aware of that. One was aware of the invasion of Abyssinia, particularly, and Mussolini and fascism.
Did you have an opinion about fascism at the time, or good or bad? You know, I mean.
Well, it definitely mostly was bad. It was. I can remember seeing these marching down Streatham High Street and going down towards Streatham Station. and the police were out and everything. And this was something quite foreign to us.
So you strongly disapproved?
Yes.
And what about Hitler himself and Germany? Did you think there'd be a war? I mean, you were going to be a regular soldier, you know, I mean...
I didn't think of war actually breaking out, but I knew that the Nazi regime was not good, and it was another fascist setup. But I was... I think we were all taken a bit by surprise when Germany did invade Poland on the 1st of September.
Now, one of the things you were enthusiastic about, the Royal Engineers, was sport. I mean, was there much sport at the RMA?
Yes, there was. And I went straight into the rugby team. And we had one of the officers who was an army trialist, and another one, the Padre, was an Irish international, Padre Pike, and played front row for Ireland. And when they stood on the touchline and we had our practice match to see what we were worth, you were under a very intense scrutiny. But they ran an A team in that first term from January to Easter, and I got into the A team. But you had to do what you were told. I was really a back row forward, number 8 ideally, but I had to pack in the front row because that was the only place that they said you can go in the front row, and that's it. So I played front row. The hooker was very big and could support himself, so it seemed to work all right. But that's where I played, and I got my 30 colours. There were 3 of us who got 30 colours from our term, and I was the only forward. And you were looking forward eventually to playing Sandhurst. This was the big match.
30 colours means what, by the way?
So second 15 colour, probably. But you got a badge for it, which you put on your...
Now, Sandhurst was... Sorry, I interrupted. Was the big match.
That was the big match. I mean, there were 600-odd plus cadets at Sandhurst and only 250 at Woolwich. And therefore, the record was that you lost 3 times out of 4. But on the previous match, the RMA had beaten Sandhurst 21-0, and we knew we had a big job to look forward to, and I was looking forward to playing in that match. And it was one of my worries, one of my great regrets, that, of course, the match never took place as the war broke out.
So your term broke up at the end of June.
That's right.
And then you had summer holidays, in essence. And when was the course meant to reconvene?
We went back about the third week in August, and we had about a week or 10 days, and then Hitler invaded. And
now, what do you remember of the outbreak of war and how it impacted on you, and, you know, the whether you heard the radio broadcast, that sort of thing?
Well, on the 1st of September... first of all, the new intake had been increased because at the end of the summer term, they commissioned both the term that had completed 18 months and the middle term as well to get the officers out. They knew something was coming. And so we went back as the senior term with the course shortened down to a year, and they had a bigger intake of new people. And because we were then called into our company commander's offices that evening, and we then had to take the loyal oath and the King's shilling, and we were taken on as gunners in the Territorial Army because we were neither flesh, fowl, or good red herring. We were before that. And we were sent home the next day. We were sent home that night because the Royal Military Academy was required on the mobilisation plan. And we got all our kit together and then went down and got on the trams, which were then blacked out. And I eventually got home to Streatham about 11 or 12 o'clock at night. carrying all my stuff. And now, we were on leave until we received further instructions.
Now, how did you feel about being commissioned into the Royal Artillery as opposed to the Royal Engineers? Because they're not the same.
No. I realised when I got there that I was not going to have the brain power to be in the Royal Engineers. Of the term, which in our case was 85, that if you wanted to get into the Royal Engineer places, you had to be in the first 30, maybe the first 25. And I wasn't. I had passed in halfway up, about 40th. My military history was a bit of a get-in arrangement, and I finished up about 50th, just 53rd, I think I was, out of 85, at the end of the first term. So I was in the artillery.
So you went back on leave. Did you actually hear the broadcast?
Yes, because it was the first, very late on the first I got back. The broadcast was on the Sunday, the 3rd, so I was at home listening with my aunt to Neville Chamberlain making his announcement that an ultimatum had been delivered to Germany of 2 hours to stop their aggression. The 2 hours had now passed, and therefore a state of war existed between our country and Germany.
How did you feel? I mean, because you were obviously going to be right in the middle of this. Did it impact on you? Did you realise how serious it was?
I think you just accepted the thing at the time, but you had no idea quite what was going to happen. And you waited for instructions. And I was at home for about 10 days or 12 days. And then a telegram arrived, a letter with a railway warrant to go down to Lark Hill, the school where the artillery training was done. And we arrived down there at Lark Hill.
Is this a school of artillery?
That's it. Well, it's the artillery training there. And they formed an officer cadet training unit, and we were the first course on that one, which was sited at Lark Hill.
Do you know its number? Because they used to have numbers.
Number one.
Number one officer cadet training unit. So you got there in September? Still.
About mid-September.
Now, what were your first impressions when you got there?
Well, it was all very chaotic because it was being formed. Two instructors from the shop came down to be with the permanent staff there. We felt let me just think. We were in Nissen huts, of course. The ablutions were just put up in the open, so you shaved and that outside.
What were the Nissen huts like? How many were in there? What sort of personal space did you have inside them?
Well, it was the usual arrangement. They had to, for a long time, that things just formed around you. Civilian transport came in. You couldn't do an exercise with vehicles for some time. And when we did do them, something like this would happen. A van would come up which had Mr. Bloggs the baker on it. And they would say, now, we're going to load into this all the people for the gun positions. So gun position people come forward, troop leaders and so on, and then this would go out on the ranges and then you'd do your exercise. It was very ad hoc.
You actually had guns, though?
We did a course of about 3 months. We did the training and the miniature ranges in the huts, which you do with a smoke drill.
Tell me about that, then.
Well,
that's bracketing and the rest of it, is it?
That's right, yes.
Tell me how it works. Can you describe the smoke, the way that it worked? Because people don't know now.
No. Well, there was a sort of three or four benches raised up at one end, and you looked at eye level at a canvas screen, which was rolling countryside, simulated. And you gave your order, and then there was a grid on the ground underneath the screen, and somebody with what was called a smoke bottle, and he could then represent the fall of shot with a puff from the smoke bottle. And sometimes they wouldn't do it at all, so that was a dud round, or you had to work out what you did next with your fire orders. And the whole thing was to get a bracket on whatever the target was, 100-yard bracket.
What does a bracket mean for them?
Well, it means dropping a shell plus and minus, and you've got 100 yards in between. You could have a short bracket, which would be 50 yards, and a verified short bracket was one in which you'd put two shells the other side and two shells short of it, and that was the highest degree of ranging you could achieve.
Just a bit more about the training. Did you actually do any gun drill? I mean, I know you're officers, but did you actually learn to fire? Would it be the 18-pounder or the 25-pounder they had then?
They had 18-pounders Mark IV, which was quite a reasonable gun. And we had one day on the guns, and we had one day at the OP at the end of our course, and that was all.
So you didn't have much opportunity to learn gun drill at all?
No.
I mean, but you did it once.
We did gun drill on the square, so we knew what we had to do.
And they taught you. I mean, laying's quite difficult.
There wasn't much of that. I mean, there were so few things to train with.
Now, what about the OP day? Could you explain a bit about OP duty and what you were taught on that day?
Well, we went to the OP and we were then putting into practice what we'd learned in the hut on the miniature ranges and the smoke drill, to the best of our ability. I think ammunition was very short, guns were short, the vehicles were in short supply, so much, that was very limited. And we were finally commissioned, which we were very pleased to know.
Can I just ask about the theory of gunnery? Mm. I mean, were you taught that, you know, as an underbasing, you know, I mean, the importance of trigonometry generally the mathematics of gunnery? Did they actually teach you that?
Well, there was a very complicated drill in procedure. I take your point and I can explain it a bit more. And the survey drill for getting the guns into action at that stage, at that time, took about 3 hours and was described under stage 1, 2, and 3. And this was all done with the optical instruments, and it was very complicated. And it was one of the things that was wrong at that stage with the artillery. And it was only after the BEF that the whole thing was scrapped, and a very much simpler drill, so that guns could be brought into action at very short notice. And that was what happened.
So the method of establishing gun positions was extremely long-winded.
Indeed. You had an officer called the command post officer, and he had an assistant command post officer, and the passing to and fro of the survey data, the whole thing took, as I recall, 3 hours.
Did they teach you how to use things like the artillery board?
Well, this was involved in it, yes.
So anything else you learned before you passed out? I mean, you were there 3 months, you say?
Yes.
That would be December, I presume.
Yeah. We were commissioned in early December.
And anything else you learned there, or was that about it? You haven't got long.
No, it was sketchy. It was sketchy.
And was there any sort of, were you commissioned in December, was there any special ceremony or passing out parade or anything to mark it?
No, I don't recall. It was a general camp. There were all sorts of courses going on, and you could. It was a central NAFI, and you had your own huts, and you had your own bit of parade ground, and so on. And then you went to certain huts, which were lecture rooms, and whatever took place. I remember we played one game of rugby while I was there, and the senior term were up at the school of. Who had been commissioned were up at the School of Artillery as officers, and I raised the team from our, our detachment of about 40 or 50 who were being trained as field or medium gunners, and captained the side, and we were able to beat the other chaps up at the School of Artillery, and it gave me great pleasure to find that in the line-out was the senior under officer who had we had feared. Because he could give out extra drills and was very fierce, a chap called Heaven, J.R.G. Heaven, and I was able to tackle him any time he moved, which gave me great satisfaction.
Now, so you commissioned in December 39 into the Royal Artillery.
Yes.
Did you at that point know which unit you were going to?
No.
This was a territorial commission, was it?
It's a regular commission.
It was a regular,
regular commission.
Now, so what happened next then? You left?
Well, we went home, and we were on leave at Christmas, and we went to my uncle's, who lived near Maidenhead, a big country house, and he waited to receive a telegram. And eventually one arrived, and I was posted to a unit at Portsmouth, and... reported to it in one of the old Napoleonic forts, Fort Brockhurst.
Fort Brockhurst?
Yes.
Now, what was the name of the unit?
I forget now. I was only there a fortnight. And then and there were some people who had been called up and in training from about midsummer. But again, there was a tremendous shortage of equipment and everything.
Was this actually a coastal artillery unit, or was it...?
So it's just a training unit with lots of people and not many much equipment. Anyway, the telegram came and said I was posted to the 74th Field Regiment, RA, and they were at North Leach.
Where's North Leach?
That's a good question. Nobody could find it. To start with, on the map, it's about 10 miles out of Cheltenham, in the Cotswolds, and so eventually, I got my warrant, and I went off. And late at night, was met at Cheltenham Station by somebody with a small truck from the 74th, and driven up to North Leach.
And this would be January.
This was January, yes, early January, mid January. 40.
What were your first impressions, and how did they take you into the unit? Because it's quite an important part when you're joining a unit, you know, the first few days. How did they make you welcome or receive you?
Well, it was very interesting. We thought half the officers couldn't put their uniforms on properly. It was a very mixed very mixed type of. Some people wore field boots, others didn't, and it was quite a shock. What happened was...
What do you mean? I mean, were some of the officers useless, you mean? Or do you just mean they...
We had been trained at the shop to have absolutely everything right with your dress, including not having a flute in your tie. And these... there was a bit of a difference... there was only one regular officer in the territorial unit who was the adjutant, and obviously we found out what the war officer had done was posted our term in twos to first line territorial regiments throughout the country, and they had done this alphabetically, and so a cadet called Gregson and a cadet called Highfield were the two who finished up with 74th Field.
So your opinion of the officers, that, you know, your first impressions were patchy.
Indeed.
And what about the senior officers? How did they impress themselves? I presume that the colonel had you in for an interview. Do you remember how it went? Or?
No, we didn't see the colonel at all. We saw the adjutant and went straight to... it was a two-battery arrangement in those days, three troops in each battery, 293 battery.
That was your battery?
Yeah, and 296. And we were posted to 293, and I was posted as a junior officer to A troop.
Now, what was the composition of a troop? You know, what was it, your troop, A troop, what was it?
Four guns, towing equipment, signal trucks, gun position, NOP trucks.
Now, what were the, what sort of vehicles were they? Were they actual proper gun towers, or were they requisitioned vehicles and the like?
They were proper equipment.
Do you know which type?
Well, there were a lot of the lorries were Bedfords. They were but they were all converted. They were all designed or converted by the Bedford Company for army use. But you could see they were had been a commercial vehicle in essence. But the signal trucks had to have wireless sets in and certain seats and all that. But it was very heavy winter conditions.